Shaw Star Market Studios, the home of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier, afternoons 2 to 6. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston.
An Odyssey station.
It's OMF on EEI.
We're going to go forward, and we're going to go forward.
With Lou Merlone.
We got Louie up now.
All right, Louie's up.
Christian Fourier.
Hey, I really like Christian Fourier.
And Glenn Ordway.
None of us are tweeting out apologizing for it.
Good news. The Red Sox were able to play in front of fans this weekend.
2-1. Swinging strike and a slider away.
Bad news. They were swept by the Baltimore Orioles.
I got 32 more starts.
Good news. We may have an idea of what it'll take to get Garoppolo to the Patriots. Bad news? Most likely, a first-round draft pick.
You can't give up the 15th pick.
On EEI.
So I think I said on Friday's program that they have 10 games in the first 5 weeks against the Baltimore Orioles, and I did all the math for you. And I said, they win 8 out of those 10 games. They're going to get off to a really good start.
How about 7?
We're going to feel encouraged. So I just did the math. 10 minus 3. I've got 7 left. That's the only thing I've got here is 7 left.
Oh my God.
Oh.
Well, listen. So let me see if I can. Let me see. Lou, help me out on this one, okay? You tell me if I can check this box, okay, as far as preseason aspirations, preseason goals.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get fired up. Let's start quickly, guys. Checkbox?
No.
Okay, all right, ready, Glenn? You can jump into it if you want. Hey, we're going to play well at home. Who's ready? Anybody?
No.
Yeah, no. Yeah, all right, hold on. Let's play well against the division.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Yes?
No.
Okay, how about, you know what? Screw the first three. Just give me one. Let's improve our defense.
Yeah, no.
No?
No.
0-4?
Yeah, no.
That's worse than their actual record.
No, that was disappointing is probably the wrong word I would use. Like, just give me two. I mean, just two. It's the Orioles. You know, just give me two. How about just give me one? Just a 1-2. How about if, like, you reverse yesterday's score? Like, you know, you drop the first two games. Bats wake up on Sunday. You win 11-3, and it's like, all right, everybody can take a deep breath. Here comes Tampa. No. Bats don't wake up on Friday or Saturday, and you come out in the first inning, and freaking Richards throws up on himself. And then in comes freaking Taylor with the gasoline. Holy smokes. Was it 10-0 in the third?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, come on, guys. Yeah. Like,
as bad
really?
As Richards was, Taylor was actually worse.
Far the worst pitcher of the weekend.
Yes, Taylor was worse.
Richards was bad, but Taylor was much worse.
Right.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. You really should be. Like, I don't want to hear, what I don't want to hear, okay, and I don't know, I guess I know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to Lou right now, because so I feel like Lou's going to have he's going to try to convince me that this is okay.
Good luck.
Like, this is the first series, 162 games, they got a million left. Okay, and then what did you expect? What did you expect? Well, I tell you what, I didn't think they were going to win the World Series. I didn't think they were going to even make the playoffs. But so what? I thought they would be respectable. I thought that they would be a competitive team, Lou.
Just
I thought that they would
suck
be
a little.
Not even that. Like that's even embarrassing. But I did not expect them to be outscored 18-5 in this series to the Baltimore Orioles. I did not think that they were going to come out the gate. After all the positive energy, and they can do this, and they're going to surprise a lot of people.
Sneaky good.
To just go out. Yeah, sneaky good was the line, right? To go 0-3 against the Orioles, the crappiest team, supposedly, in your division.
Oh, they are.
Are they really?
Yeah,
they are. Looks like the Red Sox are the crappiest team in the division.
Listen, I'm not going to tell you that like it's good. Yeah, it's three games, but there are some things that are concerning more long-term, even after three games. Like, there's some things you just wanted to look at. So, yeah, no, it's not good. It's not good. And, I mean, I do get a kick out of the whole, like, you know, no Red Sox team has ever been started a year 0-3 and made the playoffs. And people are now using that as like, oh, another lost season. They got no chance. Who thought they had a chance? Like, I had 87 wins. I didn't say they're a playoff team.
Yeah,
they. You know what I mean? So I don't think they're a playoff team. I still think they can win 87 games. You know, I think this weekend was an absolute train wreck and a mess, not the way I think they wanted to come out of it. First two games, threw the ball well. Third game was a disaster. They didn't swing the bat, but there are some concerns long-term when you look at what you saw over the weekend. No question about it.
Well, I wouldn't worry about the, 160, 180 batting average. I wouldn't worry about that. They're going to hit. Hey, JD looks good with the video back. It looks really good.
Yep.
I'm not worried about the bats. I am worried about the defense. And certainly you've got to be worried about Devers at third base defensively. But the outfield really wasn't even challenged yet. And we still, you know, have questions there. And Alex is moving guys around in the outfield every single game. So I would be concerned about that. And sure, you got to be concerned about Garrett Richards. Absolutely, you have to be concerned about it. That was a disaster.
No, it was a disaster, but he's yeah, I just wouldn't put him in the top four. You know what I mean? Right now, you know, it was one start. We'll see what he looks like, and hopefully he'll be a lot better than that. You know, the one thing that I was really curious to watch was, like, say, you know, how this, like, bottom third, hey, we're going to hit a whole lot of home runs. We might hit 220 down there, but it's going to be a lot of home runs. Well, I mean, Franchy Cordero, Hunter Renfro, actually, your whole outfield, Verdugo, those guys were 0 for 23. Like, that's supposed to be your outfield. You know what I mean? When you put it together, they're 0 for 23. You know, Dahlbeck 0 for 10 with 5 punchouts at the bottom third. And you're worried about the good hitters being on base, and then it comes in, it's like, okay, it's either going to be a 3-run home run, second and third, one out, nobody out, or it's going to be a punch-out, punch-out, punch-out. You know, and it's like, okay, sometimes I'm going to need a sack fly, boys. I'm going to need a ground ball to second. I'm going to need contact. That's what I'm going to need. So that, to me, that is still a big concern, whether that whole theory of bottom third, home runs, we're going to get a lot of points that way, but I don't see enough contact down there at all. And it's not like I got track record either to go by and say, well, like Bogarts, you know, starts off 1 for 12. Anybody concerned about Xander Bogarts hitting?
Zero, no.
Okay. But those other guys, you know, Dahlbeck and
maybe.
Renfro and Cordero?
Yeah, maybe.
I'm concerned. Yeah,
I would never say this, and you've already said it. Anybody who thought that this was a playoff team is just not paying attention. They're going through a rebuilding period. They brought in veterans that they signed on short contracts so that they can move on from them. They're using them for a year or two, and they're trying to rebuild the minor league system. On the other hand, I would say this. If this continues, what we saw over the weekend, for the next three against Tampa Bay, and then I hate to tell you, they're going to Baltimore to play those same Orioles.
They're playing the Orioles. They'll smoke them.
Next week.
They suck.
If that continues the rest of the week, then the biggest problem the Red Sox are going to have is disinterest. People are going to sit there
and
say,
let me ask you, to that point, isn't that the biggest problem they already have? Like, if they went 3-0,
would it have changed?
Yes, I think it would, because I think a good start
they
would
won
give
the World
them
Series and there was disinterest.
Yeah, no, would give them. Well, I'm not telling you that they're going to move themselves up to the most popular team in this town, but there's an opportunity right now with the Bruins having their struggles and the Celtics having their struggles.
No, I agree.
To actually get some attention.
No, I agree.
But if you don't win these games, you're going to get no attention.
Yeah, I still think that's fake. I think that's outrage. It's just fake outrage, to be honest with you. What if they took 2 out of 3 or won all 3 against the Orioles?
Oh, they suck. They didn't beat anybody.
Well,
good.
I didn't say one weekend. I said over the first 2 or 3 weeks.
No, Ryan, I know that.
Ryan,
but
you can't tell me if they get off to a good start, because you're a Red Sox fan, over the first couple weeks,
sure,
you're not going to get excited about them.
Damn right I will.
There you go. Thank you.
Yeah, Red Sox fans. But I mean, the fringe people, the ones that you really need, that every single team needs in this city. Like, I think it's kind of just, I don't know. I just think that you keep a close eye on them. I mean, you know, people just, I don't know, the ones that talk about how the game is too slow, pitch clock, okay, let's get every single game down to 245. You think that brings fans back? Speed the game up. Do you really think that brings fans back? I don't. I think it's a bunch of crap. I think people are just lying. They just don't like it. They don't want to follow it. It's a $1.62. It's a long summer. It's a long spring. It's a long fall.
Wow.
So they just sort of sit there and say, you know, I don't like it. Well, for whatever
reason.
You
know why I don't like it?
And if they win, I'll pay attention to them in August and September. In September, I'll pay attention to them. Like, that's what I think kind of happens.
You know, baseball takes a lot of effort to pay attention to. There's just a lot going on.
Well, the analytics.
I mean, not to get into the casual fan. Well, yeah, because not to get into.
I don't think that either.
I do. Because I would say I would be a casual fan if I wasn't in the sports world. I would say, why am I watching? I don't think they're there that. I'm on your side right now for this, but I think eventually just somebody's got to be interesting. Like I need a story. I need someone to be interesting. I need some sort of storyline that will keep me engaged even if they're playing crappy.
Well, let me
guys on this roster that you can be emotionally vested in.
Let me go back to Lou's original point, because I agree. I don't think they have the fringe right now. The fringe don't exist.
No.
Okay? The only way you get the fringe is to win games.
No. The only way you get the fringe is to be in the postseason and have people think you can win it.
Okay.
So, the I think they win 87 games. I'm kind of optimistic with this team, right?
Yeah, I think you're.
I don't think they're going to win it, so I don't think you're going to bring back a fringe fan this year.
Yeah, but I think their biggest problem is their hardcore fan is getting turned off. And their hardcore fan will hang around if they're winning games. If they're losing games, the hardcore is going to sit there and say, I'm out.
I don't think you lose hardcore fans.
I'm out.
I don't think you do.
I think that's a possibility of doing it, and I've seen it with other teams. And you've even talked about the Patriots if they have a couple losing seasons.
Hardcores don't leave.
Oh,
that's why they're hardcore. That's why they're hardcore. Rain or shine.
Hardcore fans, hardcore Bruins fans and Celtics fans, they don't care.
Yeah,
they love the sport. They watch the team. Like, if you're a hardcore Red Sox, you're intrigued on Pivetta tonight. You want to see what Richards does next time out. You want to see if Hauk gets another start. You want to see what Erod does, his first start back. You want to see Evaldi on the hill again. You want to see Verdugo. You want to see Dahlbeck. Hardcore fans still want to see and watch this team. Every team has them. It's the fringe that are ganji.
Well, the hardcore is a lot smaller than it was years ago. All right, we'll get to the phone calls at 617-779-7937. What were the good things? Were there any good things? And what are the really bad things that you saw over the weekend? Worst Take Madness, we have the championship game. It is coming up today at 4:15. It is the championship on the line. All of that and more here on a Monday edition of OMF.
And a miss and a slider down and in. He got him. Oh, that was nasty. Swung on and missed. He went back to the slider again. Swing and a miss and a fastball up and away. Three punch outs for Tanner Houck. Swings and misses up and in. He got himself out. That was up in his eyes. Tanner Houck strikes out the side in the second inning. Four punch outs already.
Strike three called. 94 mile an hour fastball. And this is amazing stuff for Tanner Houck. Sort of hard to watch him and not think he belongs on this club no matter what. Swing and a miss. He's struck him out, blew him out with a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, his sixth of the day. He has been spectacular. Slider, strike three called. He got him. Beautiful stuff for Houck, his seventh strikeout.
Swing and a miss, strike three. Blew him away.
Four starts in big leagues, four good starts. I don't see how you can send him out.
All right, so the most positive news of the weekend, you've got two really good starts from Evaldi on Friday. And, of course, we'll see how many games he ends up starting. And Tanner Houck on Saturday.
Yeah.
And there's a question as to whether we're going to see him up here continuously in the big leagues. I don't think you can send him down. He's already proven now in four starts that he can handle major league hitters. Your team is not going to be good. You need to keep him up here. That's what weak teams do. That's what the Tigers did for years when they were really bad and they had all those young starters that all turned out to be great pitchers. They do it down in Tampa Bay. Keep him in the big leagues.
Yeah, no, he's out of the rotation when Erod's ready, in my book. And I love him. I love what he does. But you can't, one time through the rotation, blow up an entire plan that you had all winter long. Like, he's out of the rotation. Like, I know Richard sucked yesterday. I just want him to suck a little, okay? We're going to start putting that out there, right?
Jesus.
But he was awful. But it was one start. Like, in the offseason, you sign this guy to be in your rotation. So if Houck goes in, who comes out? And so to me, it's like, he's out of the rotation. And, you know, with down to AAA, where you can monitor some innings, you can monitor a pitch count, you can get his pitch count up, get ready. You know, there's a couple things you can do with him, but I don't think you can leave him in the rotation as good as he looks.
Six weeks from now, if the other guys are failing miserably.
But I still think he's going to get 20, 22 starts in the big leagues this year. Like, your sixth starter going into the year, he's a mainstay in that rotation at some point. But I just don't think you do it right now. I don't think you walk up to Richard and say, hey, you know, we signed you to that one-year-plus option deal for $10 million. You look really bad on Sunday. Go to the bullpen. Because you can't send him down.
Well,
no,
you're
do that.
Yeah, well, I would say, well, okay, you mentioned the bullpen. That's the only place I would put him, because I am under the philosophy, I work under the philosophy that, like, veterans like Richards, even though, like, he stunk and Tanner and Houck has actually put together a nice little quick little short resume for such a young guy, now Richards is on notice, and so is Pivetta, and so is Perez. Any guy other than Evaldi, other than a Chris Sale, who's not even pitching right now, or Rodriguez. Those three, they're not going anywhere. Evaldi, he may get hurt. We'll see what happens with that. But there's no way you're sending Houck to AAA. No way. He's earned the right, and he hasn't done anything wrong. And so then you're going to sit there and you're going to demote him? Why won't you put him in the bullpen? Well, I don't, he doesn't need to be a closer, but he can be a long relief guy.
No, I don't think that does you any good. I think you lose right. If he's not, if you're worried about the other guys and you want to see these guys go through the rotation two or three times, you want to keep him stretched out. And the only way that you do that is send him to Worcester and let him pitch
four games. I disagree.
Well, see, I'll tell you what. You could talk me into a bullpen stint. And given what I saw from Taylor, I don't know, maybe let him go down and figure it out, because he isn't, obviously last year he wasn't good either. COVID, whatever. He looked awful yesterday. But the only thing, because I don't think you put him in rotation, but you can put him in that bullpen and sit there and say, you know, we have guys like Richards, we have guys like Perez, we have guys like Pivetta, we'll see tonight, that, you know, if I have Whitlock, who looked really good this weekend, had a great camp, and I got Hauk, you know, and I need somebody in the fifth inning, I got two long guys that can give me three, maybe even hand the ball off to a closer, or maybe even finish the game. And Andreas is another one. So you could have three guys in that bullpen that can give you three or four innings. And then eventually, you know, when you need a sixth starter, then you start Tanner Houck and you see how much he can go, and
see, to me,
you can,
Luke,
piggyback a guy.
Yeah, to me, if you're rebuilding this year, and you, in what you've seen to this point, really believe that Houck is a guy who you can project is going to be in your rotation. He is your future.
Yeah.
You have to find a way right now of keeping him in keeping him confident right now. And the way you do it is you keep him in this rotation. And I understand right now it's a numbers problem. It'll be a bigger numbers problem if they pitch well and you've got Sale coming back in July.
Well, who do you take out right now? Richards? One start?
Well, you can't do it in one start, but I'm not sure I'm going to give him a long leash here.
I know,
if I've got a young guy here who I look at and say from a point, he is my second or third best starter, and he's part of my future, I've got to find a spot for him.
Well, so that's what I mean.
I mess somebody
up. So I think he starts on Thursday. Even if Erod is ready, they can push Erod to say Sunday. They got a lot of games in a row. They don't have many off days, so you can, for one time through, you can go six. Give Hauck the start on Thursday. But then after that, you got to make a call. You got to make a call right now. So you're going to have Garrett Richards two starts, Pivetta two starts, Perez a start, maybe two. Who do you yank out of the rotation right then? The guy that pitched the worst after two starts? That's it?
Yeah.
Two starts, gone?
With a little extra incentive, not incentive, but
see,
knowledge of exactly,
it.
Exactly
it's,
how.
It's not a panic. It's not a panic because I'm worried about falling out of the race. It's a matter of this kid is my future.
Sure.
I've got to make sure I keep him confident.
I guarantee.
Keep him feeling good about himself.
That if they send him to AAA, which, by the way, I mean, the other day somebody asked him about making another start, and Cora said, we'll see how Erod feels.
Yeah, I saw that.
So it is everything to do with Erod and nothing to do with how anyone else pitches. So my gut tells me they're sending him down, and they're going to be able to do some pitch counts and be able to work his starts. They can pull him in the middle of the fifth if his pitch count's high, because it's going to be spring training for this kid. They're just going to monitor him in AAA. You know, so even if that happens, I still think he gets 20 to 25 starts. You know, seven starts. I think by mid-May, this guy's in a rotation forever. But it's just early in the year. I don't think you go to a guy like Garrett Richards and say, hey, we brought you in here. You threw bad. You're out of the rotation. Go to the bullpen. Now, eventually, that may happen, but it's not going to be after a start. Or two?
No, you
might
can't.
Might be after six.
Because
my initial
yesterday,
yeah,
my pulled him in the first.
My initial reaction was, okay, so let's make bold moves. Let's make bold decisions. But it is too early, so let's not jump into the knee jerk reaction. Richard sucks, and he's going to suck for the entire time. What a terrible first outing.
Awful.
California guy, L.A., San Diego. Maybe it was too much for it. Right? He's L.A. soft. As some people out here like
somebody to say. Somebody else I know.
So fine. It's just too early. It is, I would say this, it's a nice safety net, though. It is a nice safety net
to
know.
I don't want a safety net for this
kid. I know, it's too early, though. It is too early. Like you say, it's way too
early.
Can you imagine, you come up, you're Alex Cora, you're a veteran player, and here comes, and you've been hurt, and you've had your issues, but you've been great before. Here comes Cora saying, I'm going to sit you now because of how well Hauck played. Like, no freaking way.
No,
there's
man.
No way
no, Core
is
on.
Doing that. It's way too early. Now, give me 3 weeks. Give me three, because I think Richard is going to have to give you at least three starts. At least three.
Yeah.
At least.
Probably more like five.
Okay,
six.
So, but I mean, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, saying give me three.
So, we all admit the team's not a playoff team.
Not a playoff team. No.
So to me, it's
we said that before they played the three games this weekend.
Right. So to me, it'd be completely different if it was a playoff team, and you're sitting there saying, "Okay, we are." Listen, we're locked in. We're trying to make the playoffs. You know, our best five is this, you know. But still, even then, I would be like not doing it after a start or two. Like, I was talking about the Rays and their depth. They got like four guys in AAA that are all better than Chris Archer and Rich Hill and Michael Wacha. All of them. That's why they signed them to one-year deals. They're all better right now in AAA, and they got a chance. I still think they can win the East. And they're keeping them down to kind of monitor and let them come along, and they know they're going to need them. They don't watch these three guys get well out there. Archer will get hurt. Hill will get hurt. Wacha will get hurt. And they're going to replenish it with studs that have been innings monitored. They're going to come up, and they're going to finish the season, and they're probably going to win the East. Who the hell knows? But with the Red Sox, like, to me, it's like, no, it's you just don't give up on starters after one start, two starts, three starts, and throw the whole thing out. He either goes to AAA, or Alex gets creative and says, I can use him out of the pen for three or four innings. Like that opening day, 0-0, in comes Matt Andries. Like 0-0, no. Andries, take a seat. 0-0, Hauk, you come in. And then you throw three. So you might be down for 2 days, but that's okay, because the next day if I need a guy like that with a one-run lead, in comes Whitlock. So you can, these three-inning guys in the pen are extremely valuable with this, especially how many games they're playing in a row. So you could make that argument.
I just think this
But he's
kid,
not staying in the rotation.
I just think this kid is too good, and I'm basing it on four games, not on one game this weekend. But he's been dominant when he's been out there, and that's exactly what you need if you are in a rebuilding year. I don't want to lose the kid's confidence and send him down, and excuse me, to work the Merloni shuttle. I'm sorry. I don't want him do that. All right, I want him to get a place here in this rotation. All right, people want to talk about the team. We'll let you talk about the team. We'll get into Rafael Devers as well. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
Get social. Facebook.com/WEEI and WEEI Sports on Instagram. Now more of OMF on EEI.
Alex with Devers, do you sometimes see him maybe ranging too far over to his left on balls that Xander would be better off getting?
Those are the things that, you know, we keep talking about his defense, and, you know, he wants to make every play. You know, you just got to make better decisions. We love the effort, right? That was a ball way to his left. He gets to it, but you got to know who you got next to you, and you have to make better decisions. I think we have to just make better decisions.
Alex Cora talking about Rafael Devers, who only played two of the three games this weekend. And, boy, he could have easily had, what, three, four, five errors?
Easily.
Easily. He was lucky. And you wonder whether this is a confidence issue. But here's the problem. He is a guy you need in the lineup because of the bat. We know what he gives you there. But can he continue to play third base without really hurting you? Already we know that defensively there might be some issues with this lineup. You can't have him doing what he did last year, guys.
Has Devers ever played third base before? Is this his first year playing third base? I'm asking for a friend.
Dalbec has played it before, though, right, Lou? Dalbec has played it. So maybe you move Dalbec. It looks like he looks pretty good defensively. Maybe you move him over to third base.
Well, catching the baseball isn't the problem for Devers right now. So, you know, it's throwing the baseball, which right now is so deep into his dome, he can't just throw a ball right now. I mean, it's in his head. You know, and it was funny him talk, because I did the game Friday, and there was a couple of balls that he didn't go get that were his to his left. You know, like the one that dived the other day, it's different. Because when I was the third, it was whatever ball you can go get is yours. You have to go get everything because that ball hit deep into the hole. The shortstop's not there. You know, or any kind of slow roller, it's easy for you because momentum's going to third. You got to cut that ball off and throw the guy out. It's not the shortstop's ball. It's yours. But things are different with the shift. And, you know, and it's I got to kind of change that mindset because – If Bogey's playing in that big hole, you know, between short and third, like Devers has to know it. So, you know, because that dive play he had, Bogey's right in front of it, waiting for the ground ball to come to him. So now you got to know where your shortstop is and about which balls to go get or not.
You are talking about a rookie. The advice that you are giving is something that you would give to a rookie. Devers, and then I feel like Devers feels like he has a rookie to his left. Like, there's some young kid out there that's never played the position for, that's trying to transition from another position, and he doesn't trust the shortstop, who is a rookie. Xander Bogaerts over there. Like, he can handle it. He's not some kid that's just kind of getting his feet wet. Like, he knows what he's doing. And Devers is not some kid. He should know better.
But see, the problem is, again, it's like knowing when your guy is there or not. Because on opening day that I did, the inning they scored two runs, there was a ground ball hit to his left that he stopped on. That was his ball. And it, and Bogey was, like, shocked that he didn't field it. And it created an infield hit, and they scored two runs, and they lost the game. And then you come back on Saturday, and there's a ball that's, you know, he takes two steps, dives, and Bogey's right behind him to field it cleanly, and now he can't make the
throws,
play.
And he throws it over.
Yeah, so on Friday, he's not aggressive enough. On Saturday, he's too aggressive, and all it comes down to, it's like when I play first base at, like, you know, with Cleveland, and I had to know where my second baseman was, because if a ball's hit to my right, if he's standing there pull side, then I just go to first. If he's playing up the middle, I got to go get it because nobody else is there. So you got to know where your shortstop is to kind of know whether you need to go for that ball you can barely reach or not.
All things that should have been addressed during spring training.
With him, it's all mental.
So he takes a break in the third game. The third game. So they identify it that quickly. To me, this is just, okay, you can also sit there and say, yeah, every April it's the same old thing with Devers. Struggle, 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 figures it out.
Which it does.
Well, he
which it has.
So, okay, but I mean, but this, to me, so fine. So knee-jerk reaction, give him the benefit of the doubt, give him a mulligan till when? May?
Well, the problem, yeah.
You would just think that you were over that by now.
But he's totally inconsistent. I hate to say it, but he's a lot like Jackie Bradley Jr. is as a hitter, who, by the way, hit a home run this weekend. But he, what he does is, for a while, he looks really good, and he looks comfortable down at third. And then it suddenly, he'll make an error. Or a couple of errors, and like he did this past weekend, a couple of mistakes, not errors, mistakes, and it starts getting in his head. And then he starts to lose it, and he loses total confidence. And that's what he does. And then he gets into a good role, and he looks pretty good
at
third base.
He's a young kid. I mean, he plays like a young rookie.
He does.
And you know, he makes errors, he takes it to the plate. He struggles at the plate, he takes it to the field. And it's like the one thing you can't do at that level. You know, it was like in 2019, the last time Alex saw him, he made 9 errors in month of April, didn't hit a home run.
Yeah.
And then from May on, he was the best hitter in baseball. And he didn't really make, he made like 2 or 3 for the next 4 months.
Yeah.
He struggled in September, but it was like, now this kid all of a sudden, because he's hitting well, or, you know, can field third base, he looks great. And but when he's not, it's a complete leap show.
He, to me, Devers is the type of guy, and I feel like Cora has pretty much co-signed on this, is that he needs constant coaching and managing and teaching. Like, he constantly needs to be informed about what's expected of you. Here's what you need to do. Let me constantly remind you of what your job is. That, to me, is something that he did in 2018. Like, he did that years ago. Like, this isn't something he should still have to do. It's not Pablo Sandoval out there at third base. Like, that, to me, is, like, embarrassing for him as a ball player. Now, fine. Well, he gets out slow, whatever. I just feel like a guy like him who's been in the majors this long should be above that type of issues.
Well, this is the year for him to do it, and he's obviously not off to a good start.
Well,
a couple games.
If he doesn't, I would say that you're looking at designated hitter money, okay, as opposed to everyday third base.
Well,
money
it's first base.
With a big hitter.
I mean, it's first base, and you wonder how long it goes before he starts taking grounders at first, and Dahlbeck starts taking ground balls at third. And I've heard everything from, you know, well, you can't release him because Devers will go off somewhere. It's like, hold on. You're not releasing Rafael Devers. You're trying to figure out if you're going to pay him $100 million or $200 million, okay?
Right.
That's how good he is.
Yeah.
You put him at first. You take the throwing equation out of defense for him. You let him focus on hitting, and he's a monster. You put Dahlbeck at third. And if Dahlbeck can't play third base, you move on from Dahlbeck, okay? And you go find yourself a third baseman. Get to the priorities. Devers is a priority. So where is he comfortable? Where is he the most productive? Will he be a DH someday? I think he'll be a first baseman for a long time. Because he's got good hands. He just can't throw. It's in his dome.
He's John Lester.
He struggles throwing the baseball. And especially now, but always has.
All right, 617-779-7937. We talk about what happened to the Red Sox this weekend. Here's Alex. Hello, Alex.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Give me a minute to get this off my chest, man, because the pain that I am feeling, and it isn't just for this weekend. This has been, you know, adding up now ever since, you know, they started with getting rid of John Lester. I forgive him for that. He ended up getting rid of Mookie Betts. I will never forgive anybody for that. They destroyed my outfield, my killer bees. I saw Benintendi go now, and Bradley's gone. Betts was gone. You brought in this guy Verdugo. I don't even recognize my team anymore. I got Kikis and Frenchies and Marwins and, you know, Garrett Richardson. And, you know, this guy, John Henry. John Henry destroyed this team, and I'm to blame because he fooled me. He fooled me because he had this 10-year plan to save my beloved Fenway Park, and he put up the seats in a monster, and he set up a new section, and I was so happy. What I didn't realize is how he was sucking us dry to get every dollar he could out of the place, and then he ends up going down in NASCAR, and he's going over to England buying the Liverpool Football Club, and he's got LeBron James in on it. You know what, John Henry? Sell the team. Sell the team to somebody that loves and has the passion for the Red Sox the way
you do.
This is a hardcore guy, though.
New England Patriots. You know what I'm saying? The way Kraft is with the Patriots. Because the Red Sox are part of the fabric of Boston. It's part of Massachusetts. It's part of New England. This guy doesn't get it. He even had to put his hands. He went into the broadcast booth, and he got rid of Don Osillo. Why? At night, I shared that with my kids. We sat there. We saw our beloved Jerry Remy and Don Osillo. And they were sitting there. He brought little Wally out with a little Adirondack chair.
All right, tell us what you really think about the team, Alex. How do you really feel about the Red Sox?
It's Carter Cape Cod. So he should go to California, pick up LeBron James.
All right, buddy.
Pick up Beyonce on the way back.
Enjoy the baseball season.
Jeez.
Enjoy
us.
Wow. That's one of the hardcore guys. That, got them all in.
Hardcore guy.
Get that's back to the Orsillo.
Fantastic call.
Yeah.
let's try Phil and see what he thinks about the first weekend with the Red Sox. Hello, Phil.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking the call. Let me just say there's no way in hell I can follow that guy up.
Good luck.
Kudos to him. Lou, it was great hearing you guys out back at it Friday night. I'm sure you were probably excited. It's good to have some normalcy. I got to tell you, I don't know if you guys had fans mic'd up or what, but I could hear a lot of them, and I was laughing.
One guy in
particular. More entertaining than the actual baseball players out on the field. And I got to tell you, this ownership group, I don't get it, but in the next 2 weeks, if these guys keep playing the way they are, and I mean, I know everybody loves Cora that's on this team, but if they put this product out and continually, they're not going to have to worry about people asking them questions because nobody's going to tune in because they don't give a crap about the team. That's how bad this team looks right now. I just got one last question for you, Lou.
Yeah.
Between doing this game right now,
yeah,
the games that you have done,
yeah,
if you had to pick between doing that game,
yeah,
and doing your Monday interview with Belichick, which one would you choose?
Oh, Jesus. It's not even close. I do a Red Sox game 24/7. I don't care how bad they are. You kidding me? Worst 20 minutes of my life.
Nothing more important than this, Lou.
Yeah, no
so
kidding.
Joe doesn't torture you the way that Belichick does?
It is. It's so interesting, and I get it, man. Like, John Henry is so polarizing. But, you know, it's like this team doesn't do well. And it's like we skip over, like, the players, the manager, and the GM. We go right to ownership. Like, no other team in town.
I don't know. I heard a guy call Rob Bradford after the game and say they're losing because Alex Cora cheated back in 2017. Yeah. I'm like, oh, nobody's brought that up yet.
But it's, you know what I mean? It's like we
the baseball guys.
We criticize, like, we're wondering if Brad Stevens or Danny Ainge has to go. No one's talking about Wick. You know, and I get it. You know, the guy, listen, sometimes you make your bed, you got to sleep in it. But it is like it's like they got a GM making calls. The players are playing, you know. But it's just like John Henry. Part of me almost like, and I hope it never happens that John Henry was to sell the team and you actually get what's really a bad owner, like really a bad owner who actually sits there and says, "I don't want to spend all that much money ever."
Hi.
And then maybe you'll sit there and say, "Man, I just want my owner to open up the pockets and spend $250 million when you need to win a World Series, like that guy last time, John Henry.
What was that guy's name?
Yeah. So I mean, whatever. I mean, like I said, he makes his bed sometimes, and I understand that part of it. But it's amazing, boys.
It's
right to ownership.
I lived a good portion of my life in the previous administration. So for me, I look at this. Thank you very much. I look at the John Henry and Warner and that ownership as being so much better. I don't understand it, other than I do understand it, Lou. That the reason they don't like John Henry is, one, they don't have that same type of relationship as a fan that they have with Wick Grosbeck or with Robert Kraft, because
right.
they're out there.
How about
and they're
the
constantly
Jacobs?
In, well, I think that's,
yeah,
been,
see them?
That's been a problem. Cam Neely kind of saved that because that was a major issue. Fans hated Jeremy Jacobs. And Charlie mm-hmm. is a much different personality, but they never have really taken to him. It's Cam Neely who kind of saved the face of that organization. But I also think the globe ownership has something to do with it. It becomes
yeah.
political.
It's
for
all
some
political.
People. There's a bunch
our
of stuff.
Our whole world is political.
Right. There's a bunch of stuff.
We've lost our minds.
That's involved in this. I look at this team, and the last one I'm looking at right now is John Henry, because I'm seeing the what they're doing here and the moves they've made here. They're rebuilding. If you think this team's going to be good this year, forget about it.
That's crazy.
There's a much better chance that this thing is a complete disaster this year.
But
and a lot of the bodies that they brought in don't work for them than this team putting it together and making it deep into the playoffs.
Two things happened. One, the Baltimore Orioles were served up as the one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball.
Well, they're going to lose 100 games.
But then, sure enough,
year.
Some guy named Means comes up and shoves it down your throat. But, oh, by the way, because he was an all-star and he's actually pretty good, but nobody knows that. They just go Baltimore Orioles. They go opening day. They go rain out. Let's save the best. Okay, let's postpone it. Whatever. And then you just realize that you're not nearly as good as you thought you were. But I would say there is some good news if you're really looking for, like, good news. Because we talked about...
Help me out.
If you okay, so so Sunday was just a disaster. I don't care how you draw it up. But two out of your three starters were actually pretty respectable. I mean, other than Means having an unbelievable day... And just tip your cap to that guy, and just we'll see you next time around the bend. If you were looking for something to be happy about, like one was one pitcher's, an all-star pitcher's best performance in a long time. So fine, he got you on that.
Yeah, but
one.
I looked at it this
he
way.
He got you on that one.
Yeah,
I looked
that
at
was
it this
one.
Way. They were going
okay,
up against
so,
the Baltimore Orioles. So
again,
your starters should have been
the
good.
Orioles.
They're
going to
go
it's
up against
Orioles.
Much better lineups
again, but
than
you,
the
we
Orioles.
Keep, well, think about the Orioles.
By the way, what happened to the dead and ball? Did the Orioles have any trouble with the dead ball yesterday? I didn't see that.
All I'm saying is
I heard
that
like,
if you're upset today, I completely understand.
Runs.
I completely understand.
JD's only got hit a home run all weekend.
All weekend, yeah.
They didn't hit one.
And when was that actually hit?
No, listen. Means,
what was the score
I'll say
of
this.
The game?
Means threw the ball well, you know, but you got to hit good pitching, you know, but he threw his ass off. I'll give him that. As far as Harvey on Saturday and Zimmerman, like you should have ripped their boobs off, if you
no
ask
question,
me. Like
no
this
question.
Lineup should have just shredded them. And Harvey threw good in the first couple innings and started leaving everything over the middle of the plate. Zimmerman, yep. Another soft lefty, as you saw. You already saw that the night before, opening day against Means with his changeup. But, you know, you're going to face, okay, so then you're going to have Glasnow on Tuesday. Yarbrough on Wednesday. You know, I mean, it's, hello, you know, you're going to face some good pitching. So, you know, Means, okay, it is what it is. You go 0-3, but it's the next guys you're supposed to tear into a little bit. You know, especially on Sunday, if you asked me, but whatever, you move on. But you got to swing the bat better. My biggest concern moving forward are just some big picture stuff. It isn't even Richards. It's Devers' third base. It's an outfield that I don't know what the hell you're going to get out of. It's a bottom third lineup that may never make contact. Like, literally, like I need a fly ball and a ground ball once in a while to get a run across. I don't want bases juice, nobody out, punch out, punch out, punch out, which, unfortunately, you might get a little bit of. Like, Cordero? Like Dahlbeck, yeah, they could all hit home runs, but I don't know when they're going to come.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's big moments. I just need context sometimes.
Yeah, big,
outfield defense, like that
big,
stuff. You're like, what the Christ? That's like the long term concerns that I'm not so sure are going to get fixed.
Yeah, Bobby Dahlbeck may hit. I don't know how many home runs, but he also may strike
you
out
need contact.
With three strikes, consecutive strikes in a key part of the game in which you needed at least a ball in play. So, yeah, there are a lot of concerns out there. Listen, they're getting off to a terrible start. They've got to win some of these games. I don't know about the next three. Certainly, they get Baltimore.
You need tonight.
Yeah,
you feel
you
good about Glasnow versus Perez on Tuesday?
No, this is the most winnable of the three.
You need
tonight.
Tonight
is the most winnable of the three. There's no question about it. Major League Baseball made a major decision over the weekend. I think it might have been the worst business decision I've seen any of these major leagues in sports make ever. We get to it coming up next right here on OMF.